Tonight I want to begin with this. The University of Washington did a study that lasted about 20 years. They drew out 2,000 married couples like yourselves. That's a lot. And they studied them over 20 years. They had video footage of them. They had social workers, clinical psychologists. They had body language and linguistics experts in there. They had these whole physiological reactions measured, including their heart rate. So they would measure your heart rate while you're having these conversations because they wanted to know what made a marriage sing. They wanted to know what is it, you know, what's the secret sauce to a good marriage? And it eventually came down to these two things. Dr. Emerson Egrich, sorry, let me just, one more, these two things. Love and respect. Now, what's interesting is, if you read our portion of Ephesians, right at the very end, it says, this is a profound mystery as it points to Christ and to the church, talking about everything that we've covered over the last few weeks. And then it says, however, each husband must love his wife as he loves himself, and each wife must respect her husband. Incredible that they've spent all these hours and all that's, I mean, years, and all those expenses to get down to what is it that makes a marriage sing, and they get to the same conclusion that Scripture had and that Paul wrote probably in a prison somewhere all those thousands of years ago. So tonight we're going to take a look at this. We're going to look at each husband loving his wife as himself and each wife respecting her husband. Those are the two areas that we're going to be taking a look at tonight, which is why I've got my swimsuit model wife up here just to help you guys out and understanding how ladies function, because I still don't know. But just a couple things to point out as a launching pad before we tag team tonight. Firstly, some things to observe is that it's prescriptive. You see that word must, or in the Greek, it's must. It's not, you know, give it some thoughts. Here's a suggestion. You know, I've seen this work from time to time. He says, each husband must love his wife as he loves himself, and each wife must respect her husband. So God is saying, I know how you work. I created marriage. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know how you will get the best out of your spouse. Husbands, you get the best out of her by loving her, and wives, you get the best out of your husband by respecting him. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the idea of respecting a husband as his primary need, but we'll take a look at that tonight. Secondly, it's gender specific. So it doesn't say love and respect one another. It doesn't say forget these. Don't forget these two things. These are really cool. Buy lots of gifts. Lots of date nights. He says no. Each husband must love his wife. And each wife must respect her husband. So when I look at that, part of what's been generated here is the fact that it's what doesn't come naturally. A wife naturally loves, but doesn't naturally respect, and vice versa. And then thirdly, it's unconditional. So you notice that the only fine print is the verse. So it doesn't say, husbands, love your wife as long as she keeps her figure. It doesn't say, husbands, must love your wife as long as she doesn't lose her stuffs. And it also doesn't say, wives, you must respect your husband as long as he's really smashing it at work, as long as he's being kind and gentle to you. Actually, it is unconditional, and it's really, really weighty. And so we're going to be taking a look at this. And the reason why I want to spend the entire evening looking at these two is because I think we get stuck on only half of that. See, we get the husbands must love their wives. So, for example, we get the facts that, you know, it's important for us to buy flowers, write love letters, to never, ever, ever forget Valentine's Day or your anniversary. We get the fact that, you know, we must have date nights and romantic weekends away. But what Scripture is telling us here, that it's just as important, ladies, that you measure up, that you pour out, that you dish out to the same degree respect as we have been taught through all those Hallmark cards and movies to be loved. And we're going to go after that tonight. So what happens here? The problem here is because this is given to fallen creatures like you and I. And so the cracks form along those tectonic plates shifting around sin, of selfishness, of pride. I mean, does God really know? Does he know my husband? And now he's telling me I must respect him. Now, what's nice is 99.9% of you are probably thinking, yeah, tell them. We're in love. It doesn't matter. But that couple, it looks like, you know, they're taking some shots. And that guy, he looks hard to love. You know, he needs to hear that tonight. And unfortunately, you're all new to I do. But give us some time. Let the shine wear off. And you'll see how tricky this is and how difficult it is and where the enemy comes in this regard. The second thing, and I'll ask my wife to give an example here, is, and this is where another crack forms, is there's a doctor that, you know, you wouldn't think you need a doctor to figure this out, but he says, this doctor says, you know, actually we men speak in a blue language and ladies speak in a pink language. It's the same words, but it doesn't mean the same thing, for example.
So for example, I have nothing to wear, to me means I don't have anything new. But when Stephen says he has nothing to wear, it's because nothing is clean.
And I have nothing to wear.
And it, yeah, because he's put everything in the wash.
Not opening the second cupboard of clothing, saying, oh, I've got nothing to wear. Okay, so exactly the same words, but a different pink and blue. Right. Now, added onto that, and you'll begin to see this as we go through the night, is we have pink and blue filters. So we hear things differently. So I say, hey, babes, listen, George is in town. He's keen to play golf. I know I've played golf on last Saturday and Tuesday, and I'm phoning you from the golf course, but can I play tomorrow morning with George because he's in town? What does she say? Fine.
No. Fine.
She says fine. And so my blue filter says, the word was fine. It is fine that you play golf, and so I go play golf. It is not fine. I come back, she's moved out, she's sold the car, yeah. She's burnt the spare golf clubs and the shoes and the yeah. So these things, and we make light of it here, but what you'll see through tonight and what we really want to pierce is exactly the same thing happens when we're talking about love and respect. Okay, so bear that in mind as we share. So we're going to go back and forth and give a whole different angles, and hopefully you'll be able to see it, because I can tell you it is, I think a lot of the time when I sit with an older couple who've been married 10, 15, 20 years, this is what we have to go after. And so, anyway, let's dive straight in, with no further ado. So let me start, ladies first. I'm going to talk about love. Guys? Okay, I only have 22 years of experience here. I don't really know much. We are talking about ladies, after all. Complex creatures. But this is one of the things that I have learned. If you replace the word love with closeness, I think you get a better idea of what it is that our ladies are longing for from us. You see, unfortunately, the word love is a little bit blur. Yeah, it's like blue, 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 blue. When you hear it 20 times, it just merges into itself. And the same with love. So I'm going to use the word closeness to help you understand this. So for example, with my wife, I counted the other day, she averages 6 to 7 phone calls a day to me. Am I wrong? How are you? What's going on? Hey, have you heard? I just want to tell you. How's prep for tonight? Oh, listen, and don't forget. Okay, love you lots, bye. Hey, how are you? Just want to check in. Oh, I heard back, and this email's not going through 6 or 7 times. Then I arrive home. You know what the first thing she asks me? How was your day? I'm like, baby, you were there the whole way. Nothing happened from the last call to the drive home. Now, the reason why she does that, and it's maybe a bit of a hyperbole when it comes to Kath, is she just wants to know, are we still close? See, and you would know this, guys, maybe. You phoned your wife or your girlfriend or your fiance, and she answers and she says, hi, or she says, hi, or she says, hi, or she says, hi. The one means, come home quick, babe, I'm ready for you. Get out of the meeting, baby. Tonight's the night. The other one is, if you play golf again, I will kill you. So it's these simple nuances in someone's voice. And if you've been married a long time, you know. I know. Kat says a syllable and I know. Good place, bad place. Tough day, good day. And she knows the same. So when she phones, she just wants to know, are we still close? Is everything still okay with us? The details aren't that important. They just basically are the messengers bringing in, are we close? Have I said something since the last phone call? Has someone walked into your office who's a more recent swimsuit model? And do I need to know about her? And she wants to hear in my voice because you can tell. Is everything okay? You sound distracted. Because they can tell the closeness is starting to be separated because of something. So I don't know if you've ever had this. Now, I know it only happens in Russia. But apparently, and I've had it as well, Russian ladies ask their husbands, what are you thinking about? Anyone here had that experience? Yeah, hands down. Yeah, okay. So won't go there. What are you thinking about? Nothing. Nothing. Why? What have you heard? And I mentioned to Kath, I put it in my notes. She's like, but I want to know. What do you want to know? She wants to know closeness. So another example, sadly, we'd already been married 20 years, so it wasn't that long ago when I began to figure this out. So going to bed, I'm a morning guy. I normally wake up body clock 4:35. I'm up. Close the door, go to the lounge, you know, not disturbing the rest of the family. Kat likes to work late, 11, 12, sometimes 1 o'clock. So there was a string of nights where we were going to bed like probably 10:30, 11. Now I'm out of there, and now she needs... Now we've already had the 7 phone calls plus the how was your day conversation. And now she wants to ask a little bit more, she's probing a little bit more, and I am tired. I'm a morning guy, so I'm taking strain. So I'm lying on the side because she sleeps on that side of the bed, and I'm closing one eye, you know, and because the light is bedside light is still on, you know, faith without subtle hints means nothing. So I'm like, she's like, what's wrong? So I'm, no, it's the light. Can you switch off the light? She's like, no, then you'll fall asleep. Yes. And so I do these protracted long blinks. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Or trying to get, and I just couldn't get through. And I'm feeling so bad because, hey, the tireder I am, the longer it goes on, until I realize actually all her heart needs to know one last time before we fall asleep, are we still close? And it was like a watershed moment in my sleeping patterns because what I'll do is I'll sit up on my elbow, give her my undivided attention, have a full-on, probably 40-second conversation. Because that's all she needed. She just needed to get some words out of me so I could talk and not just, that light. She just needed to go, okay, and then we're ready to fall asleep. So if I can rewind, I'm going to hand over to Kath. You know, you've heard the saying, sex begins in the kitchen. And this is the reason why. Because at that moment of intimacy, she needs to be fully convinced that you're still close. That you want her for her, that you enjoy her friendship, that you enjoy time with her. And that begins in the kitchen. Or it begins at 8 o'clock with the first phone call as you arrive at work. But each one of these is building up to a moment of intimacy where she's like, okay, you can have my heart because I know I have yours. So put that as a feather in your cap, guys, when it comes to what Scripture says, husbands must love their wives. You need to fight for that closeness. So what is respecting your husband's?
Sorry for laughing, but the notes are here and I have to giggle at all the examples that are coming up. I mean, we have done this, but Stephen's added a few words in there just to throw me off, but it's been a lot of fun. Anyway, so what does it look like to respect your husband's wives? We have 22 years of examples, and I feel like they're all targeted at me sometimes, but I have thrown you under the bus a few times this the last few weeks. But anyway, I think one of like the big thing for me, or like examples that I can give, because I think our examples is what really just, you know, rubber hits the road kind of vibe. And one big thing with Stephen, not really early on in our marriage, but he would come home like super grumpy, and I'd be like, what is wrong? You know, like, why? You know, because that first 10 minutes of the coming home kind of sets the atmosphere for the rest of your evening. And we had this conversation, like, what would look better, or what can I do differently that can just help in those first few minutes. And the one thing he pointed out to me was that he doesn't like coming home and I'm on the phone. And I was like, but if I'm on the phone, it's my mom, my sister, you know. And his big thing was, I've worked all day, I've left the office even though I had work to do, I've made an effort to be home by 5, and I come home and you're on the phone for another 20 minutes, I might as well have gone and played golf or gone and stayed on at the office. It's just that respect thing. So immediately I realized, okay, it's a respect thing. Like, whoever I'm speaking to on the phone can be, hi, can I, whoever it is, can I call you back? My husband's just come home. Speaks volumes to him and speaks volumes to the person I'm speaking to. And so we just got into the habit, and as a family now with the kids, that when Stephen comes home, it's not a hierarchy thing or a the boss is nobody else. It's really a sign of, we love you so much, we respect the fact that you've gone out and slain dragons for us all day, and you've come home and we're happy to have you home.
Yeah, so I picked up on a study where they said that those first 5 minutes, as Kath alluded to, set the atmosphere for the rest of the night. And so I started going, like, what is it that makes me feel like, when I get home? And I picked up on that. So we had kids at that stage, and I also realized that it meant something to me that my child would get up and come and say, how's it, as I arrived home? Dad's home. You know, that moment, as they get a little bit older, they couldn't care, and they're on their iPads and everything. And I've had to sort of massage this in. Because what lies underneath that is a respect thing. Yeah. It's like, dad is home. It's not some random gardener who's walked into the door. It's a man who gave you life. And it just says something about what you think of me in those 5 minutes. And I found it just means that when I get home, it takes away this massive chunky sort of like, really? That I struggled with.
There's value in actually asking. I mean, I know we don't have questions and stuff, but just make note of, you know, some husbands want to come home to a three-course meal. Some husbands want to come home, sorry for those who aren't married, with a wife just wearing his tie. You know.
Start with that. Just try that one.
So just to have that conversation, because there is an expectation, even if you don't think there is one, and of how you expect to come home. So that is my, especially you guys newlyweds, there aren't kids, so you have the opportunity. I mean, you guys work all day, you don't really see each other all day unless you phone your husband 7 times a day. But just to be intentional with that first 5 minutes of your night. Another thing I want to touch up on is, I actually did a talk a while back with some ladies on technology and work and all those things, and I actually asked a whole bunch of husbands if they could ask their wives, or if they could tell their wives something about their technology habits without their wives knowing who posed or who said it, what would they say to them? And it was really quite eye-opening for me, because we live in the age where technology is all-consuming. And so I'm actually... Are you going to put them on the wall? I'm going to actually put them up on the wall, on the TV. These are things husbands would love to tell their wives about their texting while they drive. Please do not text and drive ever. Maybe it's one of you that need to know that. I needed to know that.
I think that was my suggestion, because I drove behind you while you were texting.
I was asking if I could drive your car.
Probably. Now that's a good one.
Okay, next. Don't put your phone on silent because I can't get hold of you. It is unhelpful when you spend so much time on social media that you start comparing our reality to the highlights of other people's lives. Please hear it from a husband who loves you and would love to tell you this without it causing a fight. Can I ask you respectfully that you don't spend any time on social media at night? Respectfully asking you, because it's the only time we have together. Have these conversations, guys. Just be honest with each other.
Yeah, that's very interesting that he says, can I ask you respectfully?
Yeah.
See, because this is the primary need. So if I can just interject here. So the way that psychologists describe this, they say, you know, if you were to crash in a desert and you've got some bottles of water and some packets of food and you could only take one of these, as much as you need both, you need water as a primary source of getting out of the desert. You can go much longer time without food than you can without water. And he said the same thing. When it comes to men, we need respect. Like you ladies need love. It's our primary need. It's what drives us. And it's fascinating there that he would say, can I ask you respectfully? Because that's his primary need. That's why he operated out of what drives a man, which is respect. And I know it sounds so weird, but it's only because it hasn't, you know, message in a bottle and you've got mail wasn't all about how she really respected him. It was how they fell in love. But anyway, I just wanted to interject there and hopefully help you see through your pink filter what it means as guys who need respect.
I'm concerned about your loneliness. I see you hiding in plain sight. I see you post every event and everyone else's, yet you are still lonely in a crowded room. Social media does nothing for your loneliness, and I feel disconnected from you. These are honest answers from men that are concerned about their wives' use of social media. I want you to know that our life is built with the people we are with now in the present, like me, your husband who adores you. A lot of time is consumed on following the most random people. I struggle to find it useful in terms of investing time with people that are actually relevant to us. I struggle when I come home and you are on your phone. I feel ignored. I could have finished my work deadline instead of respecting the fact that you like me home on time.
Respect again.
Do you know that your social media use robs me of access to you? Your phone is invasive in our private space and a work trigger. It seems like your phone has chained to your hand a second piece of you. Now, I know this is relevant to men as well as to women, but this was an honest question to husbands for their wives.
Should we have a show of hands, husbands who need to tell their wives? No,
let's do that. I'm concerned that Instagram is your primary source of scripture. Mm. Wow. Sorry. Let us both take off our notifications so we don't need to check our phones every time it makes a noise. This is something we actually did as a family. We've put, because we have three teenage children in the home, also their phones just don't stop. So we have a time limit where it just goes on a silent mode after 6 and only on again in the morning.
Yeah, random fact. Cal Newport, in his book Deep Work, he tells how they did a study on multitasking. And they said, basically, there's a part of your brain that leaves itself on as a reserve in case you want to go back to that thing. So when you're, you know, even now we've got smart watches and your watch buzzes, your brain apportions a certain part of it to attend to that thing and it waits, which basically means you aren't really fully engaging in whatever it is that you were wanting to be engaged in. And if you're flipping between the two, it slowly apportions half and then it waits. And so your productivity, your engagement, your being presentness basically gets worn down simply by checking your phone. And that was one of his suggestions. Just switch off all notifications. When it's time to check email, check email. You'll know that there's email to be checked.
Please stop posting photos of yourself, our children, or even me in swimsuits. Aww.
Sorry, they publish it and nothing I can do.
I'm tired of the husband bashing. It belittles me and does nothing to make me a better man or drag me out of the hole that I'm in. Yep. Can you stop using WhatsApp to sort out a fight with me? Please pick up the phone. I find it unhelpful when you sit and play games. You zone out and our children are picking up bad habits. Be mindful of how you spend your free time or your only me time in a day. Don't just scroll through social media and tell me you have no time for yourself. Yowza, these are harsh, man.
It just means that there was a wife on the other end of that life experience that her husband was crying out to her to hear. Would you recognize this?
This is my saddest one. I wish I was the first and last thing you see in a day instead of your Instagram feed.
Sure. Okay, on that happy note. Okay, so can you put love your wife into words when things are a little bit bumpy?
Yes. Sorry.
So we're in a rocky place. And I'm being all male.
Oh, okay. I totally want you to say sorry first.
Why?
I just think it's a sign of you, willing to do whatever it takes to rectify things, even if I was wrong. I think it's a sign of love if you apologize first to me.
Interesting that you use that word. I was going to say closeness.
Mm-hmm.
Sign of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And you're going like, yeah, but no. That's your blue filter. She doesn't hear anything blue. She only hears pink. And what pink is crying out for is actually, when we're fighting, I know we don't have closeness. Are you man enough to actually make sure that closeness is sorted and fixed? Will you apologize first?
Yeah.
That's a great rule, guys.
Just
you want brownie points for the rest of your life. It is a great rule.
I think the other
thing... And not apologize, but...
Yes, just apologize. Just apologize. Just own it. another thing is don't underestimate how I feel. So when I say I feel sad or I feel angry or I feel... A lot of times in fights, it's like, well, you don't have to feel that way. Like, why do you feel that? Like, that's so dumb. That's so irrational. Why you... You can't... tell me how to feel. I can't unfeel what I'm feeling. Your behavior is causing me to feel a certain way. And the only way that's going to make me feel a different way is if you change your behavior towards me. So I think that don't belittle our feelings. Just acknowledge that whatever you've done in that moment, you have caused me to feel what I'm feeling. And so...
Yeah, because you say with your pink language, but I don't feel safe when she's around. And I'm filtering it through the blue, and my response is, oh, man, it's nonsense.
So can I give you another example of that is? So, and this is very silly, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway because we've already just blabbed all our stuffs for the last 4 weeks. But Stephen's hairdress is really pretty. And I at one stage, he went for a haircut and come back. I'm like, you cut your hair. I don't know you went for a haircut. When did you go for a haircut? Like this morning. I'm like, but I want to know when you go for a haircut. Why? Because I feel unsafe when she's around you. My hairdresser. Yes, your hairdresser. She's freaking beautiful. And he's like, my frumpy hairdresser. I'm like, whatever. But anyway, on the back of that conversation, his behavior made me feel a certain way. And since then, for the the last 3 years, every time he goes to the hairdresser, it's in our diary. We have a family diary so that we know who goes where, what, and when to plan what. And Stephen's hair appointments are always in the diary. And it just makes me feel safe again because I know he's just going to cut his hair. But anyway.
Old, frumpy,
no,
auntie.
She's not old.
She is. Anyway, okay. But yeah, so they are just blue.
It says they're old, frumpy hairdresser.
Yes. but did you see the blue response? I'm like, whatever, you know?
It's not whatever.
So yeah, don't do what I do what I say. Yeah, case in point. Because that's my, I'm like, no, really? I mean, yeah, she's... Oh, fro auntie, you know, nothing there, babes. But don't belittle how she feels. And often that comes up when things are a little bumpy, when you're arguing, and we just shut our wives down right there. But actually love, that pink language, requires of me to not belittle those feelings, but rather to change my behavior, because my behavior is creating those feelings, whether I like it or not, whether it makes sense, guys, or not. Normally not. But Scripture says husbands must love their wives. There's no get out of jail free card here. There's no do not pass begin, do not collect 200. There's a husbands must love their wives. So Scripture and God, who's wired your wife, says to you, husband, don't belittle those feelings. Recognize that it is your behavior that's causing those feelings. Change your behavior.
Okay. To Stephen, put respect your husband into words when things are a little bumpy. Tell me what to do.
I've got lots of pages.
I know. Yours is like three.
So someone summarized respecting in a bumpy place like this. Does she love me? Absolutely. Does she like me? Not so much. You know, they did a study where they asked guys, would you rather be left alone and unloved or feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? And almost unanimously, the men said, I would rather be left alone and unloved than being disrespected. Now, that's a weighty thing, because I don't know why. It is a radical trigger. It just, for me personally, it will switch me off from loving husband to completely cold and disinterested. In that respect, it was so helpful for me to understand what it is that triggers me on these snarky comments. It's just like, yeah, you're just having a conversation over supper, and you just feel inside of you just bang, getting nothing from me. I'm not interested. My emotions, my interest, my conversation is done. And I didn't understand it until I did some studying around this thing. Yeah, I mentioned a little earlier that we're very aware of the romance side and creating a love for your wife and revisiting those. You know what they'll say when you marry 10, 15 years' time. They often say, you know, go and revisit those good memories. You know, your first date. We did it the other night. What was it, Valentine's Day? Or yeah, so it was Valentine's Day, and you know, you pay like 40,000 rand to go out on Valentine's evening. So our kids decided they're going to cook for us, and they got us Nando's.
Uber eated on our account. They didn't cook.
But they set up the table and the fairy lights and everything like that.
They got themselves McDonald's.
And when I asked them why, they said, yeah, it was because you told us the story about how broke you were at one of the first like expensive dates you got there, and you realized you couldn't actually buy a burger for each one. You sort of had to share one. You know, and they say those kind of things, and we understand that. We have a space for that, and Hollywood has sold us on that, and Hallmark cards have, and it comes so naturally, but respecting doesn't. You see, what I find is, in the moments when it's bumpy, the question, and I'm disrespected in that moment, what's going through my mind, ladies, is I'm thinking, no one speaks to me like this. You know, whether it be the staff at 3CR or the teachers at my kids' school or someone who's serving me at a restaurant, you know, when I'm disrespected, it's like, Papa Bear just wakes up. And I think, like, you know, it must be because you can't stand who I am. I know it makes no sense through your pink filter, but all the guys are going like, damn straight. Yeah, you can chirp, 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 but you disrespect me and something comes alive. And then what often happens is in that bumpy space, ladies will think something like this, well, I'll respect him if... So, if he meets my standards, if he gets his act together, how can I respect him? He hasn't had a job in 6 months. But unfortunately, for you, Scripture leaves no out. It says wives must respect their husbands. And so what happens is, when you say, well, I'll respect him if, basically what you're saying is you're requiring of me to fulfill both those commands that Scripture gives. You're saying to me, I must not only love you, but I must also draw respect out of you. No man can endure that weight. and he just shuts down, completely disengages. And so my encouragement to you ladies, I know what goes through your mind is exactly the same as what I accidentally let slip when Kath mentioned my hairdresser. You're going like, what? Yeah, seriously? Is it that big a deal? It is that big a deal. And it floors us, and we don't have a compartment for it, and we don't understand it, and we haven't been taught it. So we don't know what's going on, why we are so violently angry at this moment, and why it sits with us for days. And we try to put on a brave face, but she can hear in my hi, that is not hello at all. You're bothering me. I don't have time for this. I'll be short with you. As much as I try, it just, and I can't explain that. I can't tell you. It's because I'm a fallen, sinful drug abuser when I was 12. It's because I'm a man. And my blueness in me is saying, there's something that flicks a switch when I'm disrespected. And I'm sharing this both so that you guys can understand what it is that you're wanting out of the argument that you might have with your wife, where you can identify that decision that you made when I said we're going to do that and you went ahead like that. That's disrespect there, and that's what I'm tripping over. Or when we had a bit of a fallout and the first thing you did was you phoned your mom, or you phoned your bestie. Oh, yeah. Hannes, again. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I tell you, it was just as golf clubs. And what makes you come alive and want to burn every dress that she owns is not what she did to your golf clubs. It's because she disrespected you in that moment. And so that you ladies understand what woke up Papa Bear, and so that you guys also know what it is, this sin that has come alive in you that just wants revenge. It's all respect. Anything you want to add, my babes?
Yeah, I think it's a vicious circle. Before I get onto some more detail, it's like the more you respect him, the more he loves you. The more he loves you, the more you respect him. But it's also the true for the opposite. The more you disrespect him, the less love you get. The less love you get, the less you respect him. You know, so it can only go up or down.
And I know you're sitting here going like, "Yo, what a chop." And maybe we should change churches. This guy has lost his marbles. And I'm happy to take that if you will see the value of respect to a man. Mm. If I can just help you just a little bit in the years to come, that you can understand what that Achilles heel is and why he is having a meltdown in front of you.
I just think your husband wants to be your hero. He wants to leave the house in the morning to go slay all those dragons, and you're cheering him on, and he's the hero that came home with a dragon's head at 5 o'clock, and I put the phone down to greet him. So he just wants to be your hero. I think what he mentioned about when you have a fight and you phone mommy, your husband wants to be respected privately, but publicly too. He wants you to boast about him in front of your friends, in front of your parents, in front of his parents. I think Liesl and Nico was telling me earlier on in our course where she tells his parents how happily married he is. Like, how's my boy? He's so happily married. And it's beautiful. I love it. I want to charge you. Like, do you actually know what your husband does for a living? Like, do you know what he does in a day? Do you know what trips him up at work? Do you know how important or unimportant he is really at work? Because even the unimportant is important, I'm just saying. Like, do you know what person triggers him? Stuff that you can pray for his day. When he leaves, you're like, babe, I hope the tea lady puts milk in your coffee today, you know? And doesn't forget that you like 2 sugars. Those kind of things are, like, it makes him feel like you actually listen, you actually care, you actually know what's going on in his day. And when he comes back, how was your coffee, you know? I think just to understand.
Can I just add in there? Maybe this will help you understand. So, ladies, you'd get this. You're in a bumpy place with your husband, and you're carpooling to work. And, you know, your husband doesn't share any details. He's a very private guy. He's emotionally two-dimensional. And you're just having a tough time. And in the carpool, there's this other guy there, and you're sharing, oh, and he gets you. And he's like, that must be hard. Yeah, you know what he should do? is he should sit down with a glass of wine and hear you out. Have you read this book? Oh, you know, if the two of you read it, and all of a sudden you find you are going weak in the knees, and he just, you know, you're crossing an emotional boundary there, but you like it. Stop, I like it. Okay, now, that's pink. This is what it looks like blue. It looks like blue is you're the absolute chop at home. You can't fix a plug. You keep forgetting to cancel that reservation for holiday. Your mother pops in uninvited. I'm trying to think of neutral things here. And then you go to work, and the ladies think you are just absolutely incredible. Such wisdom. You know, and that suit just sits mighty fine on you. That haircut. And what happens is, now here's a guy who's getting respect, whereas at home he's not. It's the same thing in terms of the lady who's getting love, where at home she doesn't. So when Kath says, you know, do you know what he does for a living? Is because actually there's a fight required of us in those alone spaces. And the fight doesn't happen in the alone space. The fight happens at home. That you know what he's doing for a living, that you're proud of him, that he knows that you're proud of him, that he feels like he can do no wrong in your eyes, rather than he feels like he can do nothing right in your eyes.
I love you. I think, yeah, another thing is to allow him to challenge himself. You, my husband, he's amazing. But I didn't want to say but. He's to allow them to play the golf and whatever. I don't know things about golf. I know things about cycling. Crash the competition. Stephen loves to cycle. I have had to make him tone it down because you all know he broke both his arms just over a year ago and it wasn't fun. But at the time, I was, go, babe, you can do those jumps. You're so amazing. Now I'm like, you go on those jumps, I'll kill you. But allow them to challenge themselves. At the moment, he wants to go and be crazy and swim and I'm freaking out, but he's going to go and swim a crazy 7-kilometer race. But be interested in what they're interested in and allow them to do what they want to do and he'll allow you to do what you want to do. I just think it's so beautiful when you respect them and what they like to do. Watch rugby. I remember long ago, we don't really watch rugby anymore, but I used to know all the names and I couldn't stand some players and he enjoyed the fact that I knew their names. I don't know their names anymore. It was before children when we had time to watch rugby. Lastly, I want to say aspire to intimacy. I think we spend so much time bettering ourselves at a whole bunch of other things and we often do not, we leave intimacy as the last rung on our importance, especially as ladies. And I want to ask you to just aspire to intimacy. A constant cold shoulder can be seen as physical disrespect. Want him. Show him that you want him. It's not a. It's something you work at, and it's something that I want to just encourage you to do. I don't know. You want to add to that?
Yeah, wear want that him. Tie. Want
him. Wear that tie alone.
Come on.
Do you have a tie? I'll go look.
I'll buy one on the way home, baby.
Are there any ties in the room?
Yeah, so one story, and I don't know if I mentioned it. Okay. So when my son fell off the jungle gym and Kath used the surfboard to protect him and I had to give up on surfing, I remember I waited for her to encourage me to go and surf again because that's an act of love. Because I want to prefer her. You know, as a mom, she wants to protect her kids and I don't want her to feel that our children are unsafe. But I can tell you that the moment that she said, go surf again, I felt like a man for the first time in forever, you know, instead of that mommy, daddy at home, you know, or mommy, daddy on the beach building sandcastles. You know, you can only build so many sandcastles. Mom, save us. Anyway, so, okay. So to the men, one last set of thoughts to love her is teach your kids one day to love her. And like Kath's alluded to in terms of respect, teach the parents to love your wives as well. I've noticed, I've had quite a few Afrikaans couples in my office, and it goes down something like this. You know, we went to dinner at Pa's house, and he said some things, and Dana said nothing. Yeah, but you know, whatever bubbles, this net Pa, you know, it's like no. You are now the head of your home, not your dad anymore, and he's not loving on her. You need to fight for that love. You need to put your dad in his place. And she's sitting there going, are you man enough to protect me from this verbal abuse? I don't know if I mentioned that we had an incident with my father, and I needed to step in. And it's the hardest thing to do, where you as a man now need to take the lead in your home against a father figure. But that's what it means to love, is to teach your children to love. So I've had to explain to my kids. So one of my oldest daughter, she's a carbon copy of me, all my faults.
and the good,
okay. Both the good and all the faults. So she's not a touchy-feely person. She doesn't like hugs. She never thinks to greet or say goodbye. For example, a friend is playing and the mother arrives. So I'll go and say, hey, Jai. So-and-so's mom is here. Okay, cool. We'll be there now. And they'll just sit. And the mother will be outside the gate. Yeah? So I've got to go in and I've got to explain to her, okay, this is how you are courteous to this person's mother. You don't leave her out there while you finish your game. You go and you open the gate. You say hi. We're just packing away, and you do all of that. So I've had to work with Jai on these kind of social things that I struggled with my entire life.
And yeah, case in point, I think the first week we shared about how I have to show you how to greet the people at our gates.
Yeah, you see. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But I've had to help my kids also understand that Kath's love language is just being in her face. Just tell her all your stories. That's the reason why she phones 6 or 7 times in the day. She wants to be close. She wants to sit and chat. And she needs that from you, because that's communicating to mom that you love her. So it's more than just you getting your aim game, but you got to introduce your children to that eventually, and before that, you got to introduce your parents to that. So, guys, if I can encourage you, be on high alert just over the next immediate season, and just see where you've let it slip. Maybe you're fortunate, maybe you've got amazing parents. Maybe you should ask your wife if you have amazing parents. Because inside there is a little girl who's being beaten up by someone's parents, and scripture requires of you that you defend her. And who knows, maybe that thing is just a wobbly for 4 or 5 years, and then it explodes in your face, and you can diffuse that now. Love on her publicly. Guys, you know what? Ladies are really easy. They are. You love on a lady publicly, you have her for like 2-3 weeks. You know, us Oaks, we just need to be reminded every day. You buy her a bunch of flowers and you give it to her in public. Or like I did a little bit earlier in the evening, you get that sweetie pie, Kat's favorite chocolate. And I don't like pull her aside, hey babes. You go in the crowd and you give her that sweetie pie. All the other Oaks are going like, oh freak, you make us look bad. And she's just going like, oh my, knight in shining armor. Weeks, very easy. But also pursue her with words and actions. If I had to ask you guys, what have you changed since starting this course, would she be able to tell you what you've changed? Yeah, aren't you glad we don't have those questions in the packet tonight? But would she be able to tell you? You've made some adjustments, and I noticed that, because that's what love requires, that you pursue her with words and actions. Be vulnerable, guys. I know we don't like to communicate, but share your successes and failures. Tell her details. Color in the story. She wants to know that you want to be her friend, you like being with her, you enjoy her, and that she feels your thoughts and desires. That's what flowers mean. When you give a lady flowers, it means, I thought of you before I walked into the room and saw you. Actually, I thought of you before I climbed into the car, because I had to make sure that I drove that way around and not mindlessly like I often do. I almost get flowers, and then you're at your front door. It's like, oh. I always drive this way home and I didn't go past the flower shop. It just says, you are in my thoughts today. And that is what love looks like. So, to close, the Bible says in Ephesians, husbands must love their wives. One day we're going to stand before our Heavenly Father and He will say, did you love my daughter? And He gives us all these opportunities. And then the responsibility that comes with having 4 weeks of input. He says, like, I've handed it to you on a platter. Husbands must love their wives. And wives must respect their husbands. Trust me, you can trust God, you can trust His word. He knows you better than you do, and He knows your husband better than you do. And a simple change in respect and your language towards Him will radically change your marriage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for such a beautiful evening. Thank you for keeping the rain away when it looked so threatening. Thank you for the remarkable team that have set up such a beautiful evening for us. But most of all, thank you for your word, and thank you for the simplicity of Paul's writings to us in this weaponizing scripture, so to speak, by just giving us these simple applications. And I pray, Lord, as each couple leaves tonight and applies your word, your word says that you confirm your word with signs and wonders following. And I pray for signs and wonders on the back of tonight. Lord, where maybe there's a lack of respect, or maybe because we've never been modeled how to love our wives by an absent father or by a poor role model, Lord, that as we trust you, as we find ways through words and deeds to love our wives, or where we recognize the power of respecting a husband, I pray that you would confirm your word with signs and wonders following. Lord, a marriage that just comes alive, areas that are dark and shady that we didn't even really know existed, that they would enjoy the light and the love that of a flourishing marriage. I pray, Father, for those tricky areas that we're navigating with parents and in-laws, that you would allow us the gift of maneuvering through that, through the promise of your word, as we love and respect one another. In Jesus' name, amen.